Ba 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 ba.
Copyright violation.
You know what? Cease and desist letter. We're gonna get a cease and desist letter for Time Warner.
Exactly. Because it's such a crappy rendition of the song.
Honestly, we're only going to hear Patrick do that one more time.
My God.
Yep. One more time. Ever.
Makes me very happy.
It actually makes me very happy, too.
We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. I'm Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Good evening, brothers.
And my other brother, Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, brothers. Good evening.
We're brothers. We're geeks. We talk about geeky things. This geeky thing today is Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 5. Second to last episode. We recommend you go watch this episode.
The penultimate episode of the entire series.
We are going to spoil this episode.
Spoilers all day, every day.
Spoilers abound.
Spoilers abound. You have been warned.
This episode's title, though, the Game of Thrones episode title was The Bells.
The Bells.
And have you guys noticed that do you guys watch on HBO Now or do you watch on the live feed on actual
live
HBO?
Feed.
Okay. Oh. I watch on HBO Now.
Able.
HBO Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are cord cutters. I am still corded. Yeah.
I have cut the cord. The title of the episode doesn't show up when the episode is available.
Do you think they do that because they don't want it to like give away spoilers?
I think they do.
It takes a minute for it to like it eventually pops up. Like now when
Eventually populate the title, but when it first is available, right at 6 o'clock
that's probably
on Sunday.
Spoiler protection.
Yeah. Spoiler protection. Maybe. Yeah. That's what I was assuming, but it could be some kind of because honestly the streaming service is not the best. Like
I've never had any issues with the HBO.
It kind of warbles a little bit. It just struggles sometimes. It like thinks a lot.
I jump on HBO Now right at 6 o'clock.
It's probably related to your shit, Kate.
I only have shit cable for this month, but like it happens in Portland too. But now that you say that, I do have shit internet there too. So
my statement is based upon experience and knowledge, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, lawyer.
lawyer. I am a lawyer. Yes.
Okay, so there's a lot of heat coming from this episode. What's your guys' feelings?
Metaphorical heat.
Not actual physical heat.
Fire everywhere.
Yeah.
The actual episode, lots of dragon fire. Yes,
lots of dragon fire,
and there's some wildfire. Did you guys notice there was wildfire?
I did notice there were pockets of wildfire that got lit.
Yeah, because that's just like really bad. Like,
yeah. Okay, so hottest of hot takes about this episode. We are 24 hours later, so it's not the hottest of hot takes.
It's not the hottest of hot takes. Yeah.
I have very mixed feelings about this episode. It's probably the episode I have the most mixed feelings about for this entire season, more so than The Long Night, actually. And it all boils down to the singular choice that Daenerys makes towards the end of the episode.
Yeah.
To go full conquering Mad Queen.
Mass murderer.
Yeah, she just decides to start murdering innocents and people who are giving up. She's lost it.
Yeah, she has turned the corner bloodthirstiness.
Up until this season, they really didn't like hint at that at all.
I'm going to challenge that. I don't think it's out of the blue. I just don't think it's as well developed as they could have made it. I think that if you look back over the entire course of her character arc, there are moments when she is ready to burn every motherfucker to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who challenges her.
And the problem is like all those MFers are people we don't like.
Oh no, we've always bought into her emotional. But
they've been slave assholes. They've been like masters. They've been
people who didn't respect her.
Yeah.
Didn't respect her power. And But there have been moments.
Chains when the chains that she's breaking are those that we think are terrible, right?
Exactly.
So, right. All right. About her as the breaker of chains, and she wants to break the wheel and all of that stuff. And that is all fine and dandy, and we're in her corner when all of those things are epitomized by slavers. Circe. Right?
And then, and
she goes, she just goes, I mean, she just like loses it and starts like, there's this moment in the episode where
that if they built this over more episodes,
yeah,
it would have felt more legitimate.
Right.
It feels it takes a lot of work for me to make this feel legitimate. I can understand the choice of her going there, to be honest. I can.
Only because you're a close observer of the show, dude.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, that is completely true.
It is the epitome of the laziness and the terrible narrative choices that they're making in this final season. It's so abrupt, and everyone's having all these issues with it.
There's no build to it. If they had done more episodes and they built towards it a little bit.
Very carefully, they have dropped hints. They have suggested, the lore suggests these things.
Mm-hmm.
There is a consistency with regard to all of this that.
Are you talking like the lore with Targaryens? Like
ability and it is within her to snap, right? And so the notion that it's out of the blue is not accurate.
True. Mm-hmm. Okay, however, I'll give you that.
However, the problem, the huge problem with this episode and this season is that it is absolutely lazy and rushed. Mm-hmm. And it is not carefully teed up. It's just not. And no matter how much people say and defend it as they've been foreshadowing this for 7 seasons. Well, they've been hinting at it a little, and then there is this dramatic sort of, now she's a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's killing innocent people, when really up till now she's been kind of the defender of the innocent and
very much so
defender of the oppressed. And Circe is the oppressor. And Circe has used her people as human shields, and Dany has been protective of the people that were being used and oppressed by those in power. And that has been her sort of thing.
That's the reason half these people follow her. Exactly. They don't give a shit about her being a queen. They give a shit about her fighting for something good.
Oh, she's their savior. She's their mother.
Yes.
I mean, to be bound. And even the Dothraki, who are not slaves and they keep slaves, she went into, like, the Dothraki, you know, when she was in Vyas Dothrak and she set fire with all the calls in she walked out of the fire again. So if you think about it, she committed mass murder then too, because she killed all the calls who opposed her.
Because
they didn't recognize what she felt.
Her.
Oh no, I completely understand. I agree.
Her and they did. Her.
I agree.
Right? Completely.
Yes. So the Dothraki worship her as a savior. I mean, Targaryens, and I know
the Dothraki worship her because she comes from she's the mother of dragons, and she comes from, in their tradition, she comes from a position of strength, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She defeated the other calls. She defeated
the other calls.
Yeah,
so she is the ultimate call.
Exactly.
Right? So that's why they follow her, because they're
well, let's wind this back a little bit, because we want to make sure that we at least acknowledge the fact that the first third of this episode, I mean, she is betrayed by her one of her closest advisors, who is ready to see her deposed. and tries to prop John, you know, makes
right. Varys follows through with his thing, right?
He really does. Yes.
Follows through, and Varys has been the most consistent character through the whole show.
Yeah.
And he takes actions and he does things that is consistent with everything he told Tyrion and everything that he has done from season one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he dies because of it.
He does.
And he follows through and is and she sort of feeling that betrayal. And in the minds, I guess, in the mindset that she's in, she's not putting up with any of that betrayal.
Well, nope. part of it too is like the realization that she is not the chosen one called person. You know, she's not the next in line. Like, there's someone else, and that's kind of causing her to lose it a little bit. That makes more sense to me than like her sense of self. Is under challenge because it's like she's seen her as the last Targaryen. I'm the last Targaryen. I'm the reason. I have the right to the throne. That's like been her driving force this whole time. But she is not the last Targaryen. She is not the next in line.
They haven't even been consistent about that because they haven't focused on that in terms of narrative. They've really shifted the focus to I am the breaker of chains. Yeah, I am a liberator.
Right.
Not I am entitled to the throne.
Yeah, I mean,
to immediately switch to sort of what she did, it's just simple, lazy. It just bums me out, dude.
Mm-hmm. I had this discussion with Ashton last night, who was over watching the episode. It feels almost. That, and I hate to say this, it's done for shock value alone, just to make us kind of make our jaw drop and you know, Daenerys, you know, she's the quote unquote big bad of the entire series. You know, Cersei, we focused so long on what Cersei was and how power mad she was and what she did, and now Daenerys is doing something that Cersei destroyed her enemies. Sure, Cersei she never cared about.
Here's another thing: Cersei is a fucking monster,
completely.
And they are, in terms of writing that scene, they manipulate the emotions to the point where they're trying to get you to fucking sympathize with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that. There,
Yeah. In case you guys aren't getting the point.
Sense to me.
Yeah, listeners, in case you're not getting the point, Cersei dies in this episode with Jaime. She's killed by Daenerys when Daenerys destroys
the other thing. God, it's just like it's just so many.
Why? Like, yeah. Why is
just narrative missteps?
He has no resolution. His character is that's just it. Like he has no redeeming value.
This amazing sort of interesting
redemption
complex arc.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is just fucking all
he chooses to help her live. He just chooses to help her live. It's so dumb.
I will say this. I'm gonna highlight something positive about this episode. That scene where Tyrion frees Jaime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. Their last moment together. Yes. Just because
the best of the show is in those character moments.
In those moments. Well, and
are consistent with the relationship throughout the whole series.
Completely.
That is a payoff and a highlight of exactly
It's the last time they see each other as brothers.
So it is so satisfying because that is a culmination of everything, every interaction they've had since day one.
Yep.
Well, and what's great, and
Peter like Dinklage acts the shit out of that scene.
Dude, Peter Dinklage is so
incredible.
Good. He's so good, dude.
Incredible. Yep.
You pay off an entire series.
Yeah.
Because that narrative arc, that is the, oh my God, they finally get that moment and they act the shit out of it. It's a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
Because both of them have sort of had this arc, but it's consistent with the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, who? There's a lot of there's a kind of resolution with Arya in this episode too. She chooses not to go try to kill Cersei because it will mean her death, which is kind of like she's decided to live. Like Clegane like convinces her, like,
yeah,
don't be like me. You should don't get out of here.
Totally focused on revenge.
Right, right. And she chooses to try to get out, but like the city is just like chaos. There's a lot of people who are like, what's with the horse thing at the end? Is there some kind of like if it was George R. R. Martin writing this thing, I would say there's something underlying to the horse thing at the end. But I think it's just sort of like this calm moment of like, shit, I gotta get out of here. Because these writers are not looking beyond their noses whatsoever.
Unfortunately, for the writers in this season, dude, there is no fucking subtext.
There is no subtext.
No, there is no fucking subtext.
There's no, yeah.
It is an inch deep. So
it's an inch deep.
Fucking horse.
It's just an effing horse. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and if there's something else positive we can say about this episode, it's fucking beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
It's like beautiful how it looks, how it's shot.
I read something. Somebody tweeted that it was that they were just like, you know, I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones that had such great like lighting, wonderful CGI, blah blah blah, and the worst damn writing of any season, like. Right. I was like, oh, yeah,
they should have spent a little bit of that CGI on the interaction between John and Ghost.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole group of people that are super
pissed.
He doesn't go and pet the dog.
The internet fervor over John not petting his fucking dire wolf.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It's insane.
I'm there for it, too.
I feel it, too. I agree, but I don't know if I agreed with such fervor. You're right, Andrew.
It's in the first 20 pages of the first book. How important the direwolf connection is to the children.
Oh, true, yeah, and true.
It's the central thing of the first book.
That's the first thing, George.
That's the thing, is they don't get the subtext that Martin has in the thing.
That is the first thing that Martin ever wrote.
It's complicated and nuanced, and it's just a metaphor for the entire series.
They don't even think about
maybe he should say goodbye to the dog that saved his life a billion times.
Hold on. Stop calling him a dog. He's a direwolf. He's not tame. He's not a pet. That's why I don't go on the fervor. Right. He's not a pet. He is a wild animal.
Companion.
He has a companion connection
to the Starks. Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying, treating him and thinking, looking at him like a sweet puppy. He's not a fucking pet. He is a wild animal. John took the
time out to hug and have moments with other family members. Ghost is a family member.
I agree with you. Let's just stop calling him a pet, in my opinion. That's all.
He's not a pet. I've never called him a pet.
I read another thing on the internet that was saying, looks like Bran sent Arya an Uber ride.
with the horse.
And I was like, oh, that would have been fun if Bran showed up and he warged into that horse and sent it to save his sister. Like, that would have been cool, but
the best thing that I read
not thought
this,
of. No,
the yeah. best thing that I read on the internet about this, and it makes total sense, and it harkens back to something we said a little bit ago. Foreshadowing is not character development.
Yeah,
right.
I've said it to multiple people who have been watching the series and trying to get caught up because now Game of Thrones is the most popular show, maybe in the history of the world. And they're trying the end of season two, where Dany is in the House of the Undying and she has the visions of her potential futures, mm-hmm. is maybe, and for my money, the most important kind of scene in the show, maybe for her character. But that vision is not character development. Yes, it's nice foreshadowing and they abandon it. But
it's not like she remembers. There's no callback.
There's no discussion,
and she remembers, and they see her recalling that vision, and they're like, what choices should I make to avoid this potential vision?
Fulfilling her destiny.
What should I do in order to avoid this potential future?
Or do I accept
sort of deal with that? How do I fulfill my destiny while at the same time not become or sort of reduce to ash the chair that I want to sit on? How do I do that in a way that I have all of this power, but I want to exercise it in a way that is building, not destroying, right? Mm-hmm. Creating, not destroying. Mm-hmm. All of that is what George R. R. Martin is talking about, thinking about, writing about, dealing with in terms of complexity. What this season has done is reduced all of that to, this is very straightforward, she's evil.
Dragonfire, she's gone crazy. We got to stop her. You know, she's the enemy now. It's like, that's it. It's like turning a switch.
It's just so ham-handed.
And they're trying to be like clever and like, but it's like out of left field. It's like, ooh, I got you now.
It's not
clever at all.
Surprise, but it's like, no, that's not a good surprise. That's a terrible surprise. No. Like,
let's talk about a couple of things that happened that are not associated with Daenerys.
Okay.
What did you guys think of Clegane, the Clegane Bowl?
Oh, Clegane Bowl. Awesome. Stabs him in the damn face. He still lives. Good. Crazy.
That was very satisfying to have them fight that. Yeah. And then, you know, him, the Hound, making the right choice and taking him out. Sacrificing himself.
Yeah, I kind of saw that coming. Like, I was like, there's no way he can survive this.
Oh,
like,
of course. He knew he was going to his own death.
I think that's 100%. Right. I think that's right.
So I think that was at least, but I mean, that's an inch deep as well. Their character, their arc has been totally straightforward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he feels a lot of hatred for his brother.
Yeah.
And he just needed to be in a position where he could fight him and like, take his hatred out and finally, you know, close that chapter.
Yeah.
And they totally screwed up his life.
In my mind, they missed an opportunity to have Arya show up. He made a connection with Arya. Arya is his companion. She chooses not to go after Cersei. She shows up and helps Clegane.
And tries to save him.
Right. Instead, Arya runs around in the streets trying to survive.
In order for her not to die, sacrifices himself because the Mountain is going to kill Arya, and so the Hound saves her in the process. It's not just about revenge. It's about the connection, the human connection that he made with Arya, and that's an interesting, complex payoff to what they've been teeing up. Not this one-on-one, let's just exercise my revenge. You know, there's a nuance to all of this that they could have
surface deep, dude. It's like they can't see beyond their noses, man. It's just
beyond it. It's surface deep.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Nothing is nuanced. Nothing is complicated. Right. It is what it is. Answer all the questions. That's our goal. Answer all the questions. Don't think too hard about it.
And it's fan service to take the mountains, you know, the zombie mountain, and take his helmet off so we can actually see the guy and what he is and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just one disappointment after the other.
Yeah. So Cersei, Jaime die, Varys dies, the Mountain dies.
The Hound dies.
The Hound dies. Who else?
Kyburn
dies.
Kyburn gets smoked.
He gets just thrown and dead.
Like, the Mountain just smokes his ass.
Head trauma.
Yeah. Head trauma.
Traumatic brain injury leading to collapse of skull.
Injury. Yes.
There are some really good shots in this. I will say that. Like, it's beautiful.
Amazing. Those scenes from Cersei's point of view, looking out on the city and seeing the dragon flying around and just the fire of the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are stunning shots.
Oh, it's
stunning shots.
And some long shots, long takes of like Arya running through the streets with like the civilians trying to survive and like just fire, like, blasting behind them and stuff. Yeah, that's really cool stuff.
You can see every single dollar that HBO has spent on this show on the screen.
Yep.
It looks fantastic.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep.
the storytelling is wanting, of course. It's aside from episode 2, which had all of those quiet, nice character moments that we loved so much.
Yeah.
The entire season has been an inch deep. It's been disappointing in that way. It's funny because I had a memory pop up in Facebook yesterday or today about I had posted whenever the Lost finale was happening.
Oh,
it
was
right around this time, like 5 years ago, that the Lost finale happened. And looking back on that, and I mean, all the mixed feelings that people have about the Lost finale, I thought that the final season of Lost was
complicated
and well done.
Yeah.
I was in the minority.
I love the finale.
Oh, yes, yeah, I am too. Definitely in the minority.
We all agree on that. We all like it. Yeah.
And to kind of have that, to kind of.
They didn't answer all the questions. They didn't give you. They didn't totally like play
they
down
make
you.
It, and they didn't and make answer, it easy.
Right. They didn't make it easy. The show was complicated. The show was making up your own mind about stuff. That was Lost. That was Lost. To the point, they wrote a good ending.
Right,
this is not a good ending for what we had.
Season 1 through 5. Hold on, we got
that's
an entire episode left, and like I'm a firm believer.
Yeah,
just because I fancy myself to be a writer, that a solid ending can redeem a mediocre first and second.
I hope
act.
You're right, man. I think
a solid ending. I'm wondering if this episode pays off in unexpected ways, if we feel emotionally satisfied. And I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, I really don't. I mean, Daenerys has gone full Mad Queen. Will Jon have to take it on for himself? I mean,
will Tyrion have to kill her?
Will Tyrion, like, how are they going to
Arya kill her?
Yeah. What is going to happen? I think Arya's gone. I think we're not going to see Arya. She's going to show up back at Winterfell and she's going to give Sansa a big hug. And I don't know.
The trailer shows her looking at Daenerys.
Oh, she's it does. I didn't see that shot.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah, she's looking on.
I think it would be a little much, honestly, to have Arya.
I agree.
Kill Daenerys.
The Night King and Daenerys.
She's already saved the world,
right?
Mm-hmm. By killing the Night King.
Right.
We can't. I mean, what I said. I speculated to this, and it's kind of ham-fisted, but it's on the course they're on. The Unsullied and the Dothraki will kill anyone that tries to take Daenerys out. Like, she is, and Drogon's there, of course. I think the only person who could possibly even make a challenge is Jon. Jon will have to challenge her for the throne. Mm. And he's going to have to, like, she's going to have to choose a champion, and he's going to have to, like, kill Grey Worm, and then he's going to have to do it himself to take the Iron Throne, because he sees what she has
well,
become.
Well, I mean, that's sort of like, that's sort of like the easy answer.
No, I agree.
Right.
I think it's totally easy.
Which makes it very likely.
Very likely. Yeah. Exactly. It's like is this all get decided with sword fight? Like that's what we were talking about with the Night King stuff, the Long Night episode. Is like, does this all get solved with one stab from Arya? Like, that's it.
Well, I don't think that Daenerys can come back from something like this. We can't buy into her being the queen. I mean, would it be the bold choice to leave a mass murderer on the throne and have everyone around her feeling powerless? And Jon, kind of our moral hero.
That shot of her walking out on the ledge, she is not surrounded by Jon, Tyrion. She's by herself, and it's the Dothraki and the Unsullied.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That is her power, and the dragon.
Totally. So, I mean, just like all tyrants, she ends up isolated, and it's the sycophants who are propping her up.
Mm-hmm.
If she goes full tyrant, you know, how are they going to, will they give us the quote unquote happy ending of?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
I honestly have no idea where it's going. I don't know what they're going to do.
Who the hell knows?
Who the hell knows? I'm still interested, but part of me is just, and I hate to say this because I love it so much, part of me is just ready for it to be over.
I said that at the beginning of this season. I just want it to be over. I want my answers. I want the answers answered, like, or the questions answered. You know, I want resolutions. Like, I'm ready for the resolutions. Like, kill them all. Who cares? Like, I just want to know.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, and it'll be debated. I mean, people hated and loved the Lost finale. They hated and loved the Sopranos finale. They hated and loved the end of Mad Men. Golden age of television.
They hated and loved the end of Battlestar.
We've had this discussion about shows ending.
We've had this, like, I don't know what episode it was. It was way back a few years ago.
It's really tough to finish
well. It's really tough to finish well. And to satisfy all your audience.
Especially, like, to wrap up maybe the most popular show ever.
Seinfeld had a really mixed review on their finale.
Right. Yep.
Like Battlestar has a mixed review. Lost has a mixed review. Sopranos, everybody's still wondering what the black screen means. Like,
yeah, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to say this right now. And we talked about our favorite. You know what finale I've thought about recently that really was incredibly satisfying? The Next Generation finale.
Oh, yeah.
That episode was
the one where he's traveling through time and stuff?
Yeah. Picard traveling through time and meeting.
That is absolutely one of the best. It was two-episode finale, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It
was really, really, really good. So,
I love the show. I am hopeful that they...
I'm always hopeful.
Yeah.
They do a good job with the final episode, but...
Yeah.
Frankly, the way that this season has gone, I don't think they can pull it off.
There's been significant narrative missteps this season.
It is what it is. Like, it's really disappointing that it's taken this turn. And what's unfortunate, and I honestly believe this, is if we had books to base these off of, and there wasn't just showrunners deciding what's going to happen without Martin's guidance, I think we would have had a better ending. I'm still going to read the books and find 100%. Out what the hell he wanted it, how it's going to end for him. Because
I think what we're getting in a lot of ways is some of what Martin intends. I think that he has given them at least the broad strokes of how
I think that's exactly right. This is the bumper sticker version of the complete.
Like, she still goes mad in the last book,
right?
You know, she goes crazy, but it's more like build up and nuanced version. And interesting. Yeah.
And the books will have much more sort of her path of
going insane,
going crazy,
getting pushed. There's going to be other stuff that's going to be
like, push I can her absolutely that. See a dream of spring turning into a 1,000-page book about how Daenerys slowly slips into madness.
If we had 10 episodes and we had like little sprinklings of her like starting to lose it a little bit, but there is very little build up to this. There's very little.
Give all credit. I'm trying to be as Pollyanna as I can here, just because you know we're not going to shit all over it. Give all credit to Emilia Clarke. She has done as well as she can with what she's been given. This season.
Awesome. Everybody in this.
Everybody is so good. They're just phenomenal. So good.
They're fantastic.
I love all the actors from the series. I love all the characters. I'm totally committed to this show, and I'm really happy that we have it. It's just like. I don't know. Like, I like the show because of its complexity. It was popular because it was complicated, and now it's just sort of like flat and nothing and not complicated. Just sort of like explosions and big fight scenes, and it's just like that's my problem. Is the reasons I like the show are not being addressed. They're not being like favored.
It boils down to our criticism that started in season 7. Like they pushed the accelerator to the floor.
Yeah.
And we're not getting the nuance that we,
something that took in past seasons a month to do, they do in 10 minutes in an episode. Like, yeah, they travel from one place to another in an episode just to rush things along. Move it along. We gotta finish this quickly.
Well, I mean,
but make sure we don't take the cup out of the shot, you know?
It's okay, we gotta move past that shit. That shit fucking happens, okay?
That shit happens. I think it's hilarious. Do you also know that they already removed it digitally?
That's fine.
From the other, I think that's funny.
That's fine. No, I know. I didn't even see it the first time around.
I didn't either.
Did anybody? I don't think a lot of people did. I think 90% of the audience did.
Yeah, it's a product of the internet.
It really is a product of the internet.
Right, right.
I mean, there's all these YouTube videos where you can go on where you can find all of the production mistake videos and all these movies. Where somebody is in ancient Rome and one of the characters is wearing a wristwatch or some bullshit like that. I'm like, just get over yourselves.
I saw after that cup video, there was a video of all the Game of Thrones mistakes over these seasons. And there's like a dude wearing jeans. There's there's all kinds of stuff. It happens. Making movies is hard. Sometimes you're not looking at it's amazing to me because that scene was looked at by 200 people before 100%. We saw it, 200 eyes looked at that shot before it came to us, and they all missed it. That's what I think is really interesting. So any final thoughts in the episode?
Frankly, the my issue with that is that's a product of how this season feels.
Rushed and sloppy. Rushed,
lack of attention to detail. Let's get it done. Let's focus on the big stuff. Let's focus on the CG, not focused on the messy details, right? Yeah. I think it's indicative.
They got 90 more minutes to bring it home and make
90 more minutes.
I mean,
yeah, we'll see next week how they resolve all this. So,
yeah.
Yes, thanks for listening. If you want to help Andrew with his trivia, do you have any trivia, Andrew? You should have trivia next week just because
I'll have multiple questions next week.
Okay. If you'd like to help him with his Game of Thrones trivia, you should email him at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. You should email the podcast with your comments, your suggestions, anything you have to say. brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Brothers_geek@twitter.com, brothersgeek.com, Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook.
We're on
Spotify.
Facebook.
We're on iTunes. What else? Thanks for listening, guys.
Love you, brothers.
Have a good ice and fire has definitely arrived. Mm-hmm.